Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello everyone, welcome to the Red Men podcast. It is a sunny Tuesday here in Liverpool, though you'd never know it. The wind changed and Chris was pulling a face and now this is what he looks like. Doesn't really work in audio. He's pulling a funny face. It's hilarious. Check out the video version. Right, anyway, I'm here. He's alongside me. Ross Chadley and Emma Sanders join us as well for this one. For the Alison Appreciation Podcast. We're going to have a kickoff question. We're going to have two this week. The first one comes from Sharmia Mirza from Twitter. It says, after Mitch's incredible celebration, I'm so sorry. I'm wondering what's the most the lads and laddesses have celebrated for something non-football related.
It's not sport.
Yeah,
it's every time you go away for a weekend with the lads that first night.
Yeah,
or like Glastonbury when you get there on the Tuesday night or something, and you just go so big that you ruin your entire weekend. that's the time that I celebrate most. Generally, I think non-football, non-sport. I think that's it. It's just every first night you go away somewhere because you get hammered, don't you?
Yeah, there was a time once where I tripped. And, you know, when you're doing that thing where you're falling in slow motion and you're going and you're going and you're going, and I actually didn't fall over. I think that might have been a moment where you just came up, like a gymnast sticking the landing. Just get up, put your arms in celebration. Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Ross, what's the most that you've ever celebrated a non-football moment?
I reckon when I got my uni results. So a bit of background to the story. I was in Disneyland with my daughter and I completely forgot that they were coming out. My phone was going off. I'm going like, what's your results, blah, blah, blah. And we're having dinner in some restaurant and for the loudest scream you've ever heard, started crying. There's people around me just like wondering what's going on. Like this 30-year-old young man's dead happy to be in Disneyland. But I reckon that. I don't think I've ever celebrated someone so much.
Yeah, that's pretty good. I'd love to know how many people you take an exit poll. Why do you think the man at the table with the little girl was crying?
I should mention when it got me first. I'll add that in there.
Oh, there we go. You weren't celebrating a 2-2.
No, it's not.
Yeah, Ross got a first.
Yeah.
I mean, God Almighty, I went to an ex-poly. I mean, Ross went to a made-up university in a football ground. I can't even imagine what that's like.
And I just went on a bender for a year and a half.
Emma, what's your biggest celebration?
That time that Ross told me he loved me. No, joking.
Look at Ross's face. Was it in Paris?
He's gone. I'm joking. I mean, I was actually going to say the time that my sister told me she was engaged, I was obviously delighted for her because, her fiance, we're besties, so I was dead happy. But when you mentioned Chris about sort of just going out and like partying with the lads, I went on like kind of a lads holiday and we went to Hamburg. It was basically like we booked it on New Year's Eve at like 2 o'clock in the morning. We got like a, like I'm in like a fantasy draft football WhatsApp group. So there's like me and about five girls and then about six lads. And basically it was me and all of the lads who had booked this holiday. And I didn't realize that none of the girls had because obviously it was 2 a.m. So I ended up in Hamburg for like 40 hours with the lads. And we were in this nightclub with like, it was like this gay German guy who just randomly started flirting with Tom in the bathroom. And we came back out.
Tom.
No. Yeah, and just took us to this random club. And, like, the Will Griggs song came on. And I can't explain, like that feeling, like all of us were like, the Will Griggs songs, come on. And then we spotted a group of like lads who were clearly very, very English on like the other side of the dance floor. And it was like that moment where we just came together and then we created like a mosh pit doing the Will Griggs song. That was like, that was the best moment ever.
Lots of three-quarter length trackies and long girl trainees.
Lovely.
Hamnet t-shirts, without a doubt there. But yeah, let us know yours in the comments. We will, yeah, we'll get to some more if we can later on. The next question comes from Gaz 1991, just to bring it back to football. Which person, player slash manager, do you enjoy beating the most?
It's Mourinho.
Yeah.
But it was Ferguson.
Yeah.
And player, Terry.
Ooh. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. We were having this conversation the other day. Like, I enjoy... there's not many players that you hate anymore. I think so many characters have gone out the game. Used to be somebody you just got so much enjoyment. And most of them play for Man United. Like, that people you love to hate. But, like... Richarlison comes across as a massive bell end, doesn't he? So I enjoy seeing him not being very happy. Just to give it one of the worst, the best worst answer, probably Pep Guardiola, because A, he always, his head falls off in a really hilarious way, but also generally means you're quite good at football if you've managed to beat Pep. Go on then, Ross, what's yours?
I reckon manager is Mourinho, but if you're going to take a different option, it's Sam Allardyce, just because he plays turgid anti-football and we hardly ever beat him. So Sunday was quite sweet for the fact that he wasn't interested in winning that game of football and then he just bitched about it afterwards, which made it even sweeter, just gravy pouring out his nipples. And player, I'm the same as you. Like the Man City players, like I think when you grow up, you have Man United players that you hate, but you kind of respect them for kind of who they are, whereas Man City players, I'm just a bit indifferent with them. It's like you said, the character stuff. So it's Richarlison, just the fact that A, I think he's a bit shit, and B, he just gets a cob on. That's all I ever see of him. He's just he's got a shit on, moans, throws his arms about, and then goes off.
Yeah, so, No, I think it's a reasonable shout. What about you, Em?
Yeah, I mean, mine was the same as Ross. It was Jose Mourinho and Sam Allardyce. Although I'll give a shout out for Alan Pardew as well, and I have no reason whatsoever. I just don't like him. Like every time he does an interview, I'm like, don't like him.
You've had that fellas like that do that the part you danced to at a wedding before, haven't you? And it's put you off for life.
That's exactly it.
Craig Shakespeare is another one for no reason, because can't stand him. Just like a massive Tory, I mean.
Don't think he ever lost to us as well, which probably is a thing. Yeah, the Allardyce stuff, like the Allardyce's post match interview was just delicious, absolutely delicious. He was so bitter and salty and twisted. It just, I get a little thrill out of people I don't really like being really upset.
It's because it's like he's held on to the One Ring from the Lord of the Rings for too long and he's gone a bit twisted, like Gollum, Annie. You know what I mean? And he considers his football his precious, and that anybody can possibly beat it is absolutely insane. And he's clearly just eats raw fish and gravy.
Yeah, well, you said this about Allardyce. You know, we'll talk a little bit about the game of the weekend in a minute, but he's that type of manager, though, isn't he? Where he's on the merry-go-round, and eventually you don't stay on the merry-go-round forever. You know, that English manager, you'll take a team as far as you can, and then you'll lose your job, and then you'll pick up another team from the relegation fight, and you'll bring them as far as you can, and so on, rinse, repeat. But it's a lot of diminishing returns, and eventually that ends. And I got it's a proper, like, schadenfreude moment of seeing Allardyce looking down the barrel of the abyss of thinking, like, that might be it. That might be his last spin in the Premier League, and doing everything that he can to try and spin it back to how lucky Liverpool were. And we were. I mean, the fucking goal, he scored a winner in the 95th minute, for God's sake. But, yeah, there was not an ounce of him that went, what a header that is, by the way.
And you said this the other night, I think it was in the instant match reaction, didn't you? It's like, Klopp would have just been like, it happens, like, and almost like, in a way, kind of made up that, like, football won out in the end. And Allardyce just can't believe it. He's like, oh, God. You know, next time he's going to have the goalkeeper in every corner for him because he's got that numerical advantage. And he'll think of it as marginal gains from here on in and stuff now. Like, but he just, I think Allardyce is one of them fellas who just actually hates football.
Mm.
He just doesn't like it.
Yeah.
He just can't do anything else.
He had his chance. That's the thing, isn't it? He had his chance. After Bolton, he should have, his star should have been on the rise. You know, he did the big thing about, you know, he being Real Madrid manager and all that kind of stuff. I think he feels as though like he was due something. And then, I can't remember, was it Newcastle? Yeah, and
there's a problem, isn't there, for I think a lot of English managers who grow up in these leagues and stuff like that, isn't there? Because I think it's easier to play a nicer style of football elsewhere. I think it's much harder to actually do it in England. And I think you've seen, obviously, Bournemouth and Brighton play decent football, but they never really achieve anything. I mean, Bolton got further up the league than any of those two sides probably have and stuff like that. So it must be really hard for an actual English manager to play any other way, because to actually survive on the budgets that these managers have, you kind of have to play a little bit like Allardyce and stuff like that. And you've seen it. It's more successful, generally speaking, than the other way around. At some point, it's going to have to change. At some point, there's got to be an English manager that does breakthrough. Maybe it would, you know, it looked like for the longest time it would have been Eddie Howe, but it's not now.
He missed his window, didn't he?
Should have moved on before it all fell apart.
Don't even know where he is or what he's doing. Is he still at Bournemouth? That Bournemouth to do? Who gives a shit? Right, Sal, we're gonna have a very, very short interlude. We will be back. We're gonna be talking about Alisson Becker and his godlike genius. We're gonna be talking about Liverpool's quest for the top four and a little bit about Harry Kane as well. So do stay tuned. We'll be back in about 20 seconds or so.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey there, it's Michelle Norris. I'm host of a podcast called Your Mama's Kitchen. When I travel, I'm usually looking for a way to find a taste of home when I'm not at home. And one of the things I love to do when I am at home is entertain. And Airbnb allows me to do that. When I was in California recently, I rented a house that had a great kitchen. And when we were sitting around the table, we're all thinking, we're in someone else's house. Someone could be in all of our homes as well. If you have a home, but you're not always at home, you have an Airbnb. Your home might be worth more than you think. Find out how much at airbnb.com/host.
Hey, welcome back. Yes, the Hendo 10 Years of Red documentary series is coming very soon. That is just the tip of the iceberg. That is teaser one. Teaser two is hopefully dropping at the weekend.
I've seen teaser two.
Yeah. It's a table tilter. and it's not even quite finished. There's plenty more to come in. That there's two big interviews still to drop in this week to go into it. Like, it's mind blowing how good it is. Make sure you get subscribed to the redmentv.com to get that when it comes out. It should be coming out in June. Mini series, Jordan Henderson's 10 years at Liverpool with interviews. It's just phenomenal. It's levels above anything anyone's ever done in our space. So yeah, make sure you get involved with that. While we're here as well, normally we do a bit of a bigger advert section, but I just want to point out we've got some brand new merchandise available on the Red Men Merch Store. Most importantly, this wonderful creation that dropped yesterday, which is the Alisson Becker Just Head It t-shirt, which I know Emma Sanders has just picked one up herself. She's a bit annoyed that we didn't give it to her.
But
Chris, it's available in a range of sizes and colorways.
Yeah, it's absolutely fantastic, and it's selling like hotcakes, so you need to get one before it sells out, honestly.
Yeah.
It's absolutely brilliant. Celebrate Sunday forever with a Just Head It t-shirt.
Absolutely. Yeah, I'll just give you a quick little look through here, just some of the colors and styles have got available. So yeah, there's that one. There's that one. Again, I apologise to podcast listeners, but yeah, there's tons. Go and check it out. We'll put a link in the description underneath. You can get to the merch store. I don't even know what our URL is, so I just type Red Men Merch on Google and it comes up.
I go to the redmentv.com and click the shop button. But it's the-redmen-tv.myshopify.com for anyone who can remember that.
Fucking get it. Yeah, and we just want to, can we just have a little moment's appreciation for some of Ross's Photoshop work yesterday as well?
Just zoom in on my neck.
Yeah, and we just get it. We can just get a little closer look in at Chris.
That is my microphone poking through.
Do you know what Chris looks like? Do you know what Scooby do when they take the fucking mask off the
Outstanding. If you want to check that out, yeah, go to at the Red Men TV on Twitter and have a look at what Ross has done. It's
viral. And I was worried then that wouldn't work on podcast, but Ross's audio description really helped out,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah. It's Chris with his Photoshop t-shirt onto our Allison celebrations from the weekend. But yeah, very, very, very good stuff indeed. So yeah, pick up an Allison, just head a t-shirt while you can. There's a Nat Phillips one as well, which was good. It was a good idea. It was going really well. And then, yeah, the Allison one's blown out the window. But you can get both if you really want to. That's cool. Right, sound. We had a, I'm just going to find the super chats that we had while we've been doing this so far. Connor S with the $7.99 Australian dollars. Thank you, Connor. Says, all hail our holy goalie, Allison, the first of his name, protector of the realm. Obviously Aaron said, you love my Peter Griffin impression after the Allison goal. Yeah, I reached some notes. Right.
It was amazing, really, because when you play that from your phone, it actually sounded like one of them videos with the porn noises in it. And people were like, what's he watching there? And I was like, oh no, it's just Paul screaming. And they were like, oh, you've not been done. And I was like, no, we were done. West Brom were done.
Yeah, so it's funny because my wife was watching it around my mum and dad's house. And then they'd all celebrated the goal and run around the house and all that kind of stuff. And she went, oh, I'll see what the lads were doing. And she flicked it back and it was just me at the front in front of the camera topless, and she thought it was like a graphic that we dropped in. And then my kids come running and go like, wow, what's happening? Daddy's topless on the video. Why is daddy naked on the video? And then, it's me, and it's you just going like, fucking yeah, fucking get it, fucking this. And me, I was going, no, you can't listen to me. And my son's going, I promise not to say the words. Let me watch it, I promise not to say the words. Good fun. But yeah, Chris, yeah, I mean, you didn't get to do the final word show yesterday, so I'm sure you still got a couple of things to say about this, but Alison Becker, I spent yesterday morning driving into work and just spontaneously pissing smiles because I keep seeing it. I just keep seeing it over and over again. Like, it's not meant to happen. We were having a chat before about how, like, you know, Liverpool have been a bit crap and it's a shame because for whatever reason, we should be celebrating something big this season. But the point, Liverpool always give you something. There's always a moment. There's always something amazing. Like, Sebastian Coates scoring an overhead kick at QPR. You know what I mean? It's like Emre Can at Watford. You know, there's always a moment. I didn't expect it. For as much as a thing called, like, you know, there's the Everton, the most Ev thing that can happen, I don't really know what more Liverpool there can be than Alisson Becker becoming the first goalie to score for something. He's the first goalie to win a football match with a header, certainly in the Premier League and football. You know,
there's six goalkeepers, I believe, that have scored headers or scored goals in the Premier League, and none of them have scored a winner. And that says it all, doesn't it? And that's it, because you're not supposed to come up when you draw them because it's too risky that you might lose the points. Yeah. That's the kind of where it comes from and stuff. The only thing, what makes it so good is, first of all, that it happened. But there's also no fan base that's quite ready for it like we are on social media. Starting off with the Liverpool graphic designers having an Alisson goal one done, ready to go.
Sorry, just take a moment? And can we just applaud?
That's genius. You know what I mean? That's absolutely genius that you'd have an Alisson goal one done. And it was done. It wasn't made there on the spot and stuff like that. Because I saw Dave. Is it Dave?
I love the idea. Like, go, where's the PSD? Where's the goal scoring graphic, PSD? Does anyone know where we've saved the pictures of Alisson? God, what's the Creative Cloud login? What computer can I log
in? The code's going to your email address.
That would be done in our place anyway. Yeah, fucking love that, imagine. Yeah,
so it starts off there, and then after that, you get all the Titanic music and all that type of stuff. The only thing we're missing, really, is Alisson in underpants riding a chariot down to the down to the penalty area to nod it in. Yeah. That's the only thing that we haven't got so far. If you want to do that, please, we will push that.
Someone do that. It's just and glorious, isn't it, Ross? You know, again, it's another moment where, you know, we've had a few years, but three seasons of relative glory and loads of high points where we sat up till all hours of the morning rewatching all every drip and drop of post-match content we can. I didn't really expect it. It's mad how it's West Brom again, by the way. You know, like it seems to be involved in some real pivotal moments in Jürgen Klopp's management. But it was, like, to Chris's point, all the things that come out. Like, for me, it was the Rocky music. Like the slow mo, the Rocky theme, the Rocky like end of fucking movie thing coming out. It was just a beautiful, beautiful time to be a Liverpool fan.
It was the whole thing, wasn't it? I think it's been difficult to watch football for the past year and a half, and you rarely get emotions like you do when involved in a goal like that. You need the moment, you need everything to go your way, but also it's a change of emotion. So 18 minutes plus, my mood was like, that's it, top four's done, not doing that. And then 85 minutes, 88 minutes, you're just thinking, it's not going to happen. It's West Brom, it's Sam Allardyce. For all the reasons we said before, it's just a bit shit. And then the chances are you throw your goalkeeper up, but no one ever thinks, including us. It's just a chance. Like, how many times a goalkeeper's gone up and got nowhere near a ball? Or like Man City put David James up and he was just a mess when he put him up top for that. You never expect the goalkeeper to score, but to do that, to score the winner, to then be back in the top four race again within a split second, plus all the posts, all the content of Baywatch is my favourite one, I think, when we're talking about videos. It's just amazing. And then his post-match interview as well, which I'm sure we'll come on to as well. It's like, he's had a shit year. Like, you know, everyone's had a rough time, but he's had a horrific year. And you can see what it meant to all the players when they revolved around him, that they were so happy for him to score. Not just because he's a goalkeeper, but because he's a nice lad.
Yeah. Well, and the thing about this, Emma, the header's perfection.
Yeah, I mean, I was just about to say that because I was doing the live text, so I at work. And
what was the exact phrase? Is it the goalkeeper has scored?
I obviously, because like we flashed the goal first, so I flashed it with obviously his name and just put the goalkeeper has scored in like capital letters.
Paul flashed it too.
That was good, Chris. That was good. But yeah, like I was like, I don't even know how to explain it. Like I was saying to you guys before we went on air that I watched the Liverpool video from all angles of the goal this morning, which I think is about a 6.5 minute video, isn't it? And it's just the way he sort of like jogs like casually forward, and then even like just before he takes before Trent takes a corner, it's almost like Alisson just sort of like has a deep breath because we forget he's just like ran like the level of the ball. I'd be dying. Like, yeah. So he just sort of like takes a big like a deep breath, and then the ball comes in, and he's just like, it's like honestly one of the best headers I've seen. Like it was amazing. And obviously Klopp said afterwards in his post match that if like Giroud had done that, everyone would be calling it a worldie. And I kind of get the point he's making, because it was just absolutely insane. Like, he just looks so cool. And the fact that he's got leggings on as well, like just a player in the box with like black leggings scoring a goal. Oh, it's just, everything's amazing.
The other thing as well,
I never picked up on that.
We're terrible at corners. We never score corners.
Yeah. Yeah.
It was like 159 attempts or something since our last goal from a corner or something ridiculous like that, wasn't it? But
yeah.
Go on, Emma.
You know what someone else said on Twitter? It might have been someone from the Anfield Wrap. I think it might have been John Gibbons. And he said that it's actually, that's not even Trent's most famous corner. It's his second
most Hannon.
Famous.
It was Craig Hannon, yeah. It's Craig his second Hannon, most famous corner, yeah.
Yeah.
It's such a shout that, isn't it? Like, but for me, it's obviously he runs up there, but he doesn't get involved in the ruckus. He just stands in a bit of space. Like, and how many times have you seen over the years where a goalkeeper just runs into the middle of the crowd? Yeah. Like, it's just, and it's stupid. You're the extra man. Go and be the extra man.
If you're
going
to score
somewhere
from a header, that's where you need to be. You know, and that's why we do it all the time, by the way. You know, you hit that zone, don't you? That's just over the head of the guy blocking at the front post. Think about Martin Skrtel against Arsenal. Think about we've made a habit of those where you look at the guy then into the far corner. It's you don't realise it because obviously the telly flattens it for you. So you watch the normal angle and it looks amazing, and you watch behind, it's great. It's when you watch like the Trent side of the pitch and you realise how far he is out, and the post, it's basically a postage stamp almost area that he's got to hit in the top corner. And the fact that you don't realise, because again they make these things look effortless. But we've all tried to head a ball before, and you know, we've all headed balls reasonably backwards. Well and back, but you know, all it takes, and we've seen professionals, I've seen world class footballers move their head too quickly and it hit them on the temple, or they do it too late, and it's just It's
but he's got Nat Phillips crossing him as well, and he just ignores Nat Phillips. And he just trusts that he's going to get to him.
And I wondered about this actually. It's interesting you mentioned. I've had a little thinking. I thought about this. I wonder about the sound, positionally speaking, because he's a goalkeeper and he's used to people in that kind of environment jumping up and around him, and you don't take your focus off the ball because you can't. Whether another player might have.
Let's go with yes.
You know what I mean? Like a central midfielder. I'm not, like, strikers and goalkeepers are probably that. Maybe defenders.
You just got to take the chance.
Yeah, you just gamble on it. But you know, like there, because you can't anticipate everything, and whether that just led to him being quite cool and focused.
It's absolutely ridiculous what we saw there. Yeah. Not only for the timing, but the fact that he added it like that. I don't think there's another player on the pitch that could have hit that in.
No,
I genuinely don't.
And it's funny because I don't know who put it out. It might have been you, Ross, but the header he does against Bournemouth in it, when he runs out the box and he towers over that lad, and he's literally got like his knees at the guy's head height, and he bangs the header out, and you realise like he's I mean we know he's a phenomenally talented footballer, like, but and of course that, you know, you could do that 100 times and get it wrong, but I think we all knew. I'm amazed. I'm flabbergasted. The response is unbelievable, but I actually, at the same time, there's a degree of which. Allison, he's just fucking cool as fuck. I'm actually not shocked that he's got that in his locker.
Yeah, it's almost like if it was any goal, if any goalkeeper was going to score, it would be Allison, wouldn't it? Sorry, Ross. Yes.
Sorry, he said in his post-match that he practiced headed in training. So you're talking about small margin or small gains. How many other goalkeepers in the Premier League? Well, there might be a handful. But think to practice, I'm just going to practice heading just on the off chance. And maybe if he didn't do that, the goal wouldn't have never existed.
Yeah, there's no way we practice it in that way. No. You know what I mean?
Like he'll practice coming out of his area,
yeah,
and heading the ball, because yeah, that's the general situation that he's in. It's a completely different type of header, completely different.
He's just a professional footballer, isn't he? But it's funny about it, you know, because people can play footy all, you know, for their entire lives, but there's lads who are just, you know, there's lads who are defenders for a reason and not strikers, you know, and it's the goalie. It's just insane. Flabbergasted.
Did you see that one where Carragher retweeting? It's like Carragher's goal a game for Liverpool is like 184 and Alisson's is one every 137 or something. Now it's just brilliant. Yeah. I just love all the random stuff. Like, did you see the one from Paul Tompkins put at the opposite stats of Alisson's touches? Okay. And there's just this massive touches in the penalty touches area. And then just one in the penalty area of the other team. And it's like, how beautiful is that?
It is. It's absolutely sensational. It's the glory of football, that, isn't it? Scott Hawks has sent us a super chat in here. He says he's simply a beautiful man inside and out. He just happens to be the world's best goalkeeper. Hard to
I thought he was talking about Paul for a second there until we got to world's best goalkeeper.
Yeah, cheers all. Yeah, no, it's mad that he's something else. I mentioned this. There's a chance he's Liverpool's best ever goalkeeper. And, you know, and we've been blessed with some awful goalkeepers, and we've been blessed with a very limited number of truly brilliant ones down the years. That's why they stand out so much. Obviously, Ray Clemens tops that list, but Tommy Lawrence, and then you've got, obviously, Bruce Grobbelaar in the 80s. Pepe Reina had a good few years for us as well. But there's a chance Alisson's is
yeah, I think even if you've got to talk about modern football and thingy, I don't think anyone comes close as a modern goalkeeper to Alisson. It's changed so much, isn't it? I don't know about the shot stopping of the other lads, but Alisson's got it all and he's got more. Yeah. And he's got goals.
Yeah, absolutely. Goals. Busbeard with the super chat says, he's our player, our boy, our brother. So saith our Lord Klopp, and the cop it rejoiceth. So, yeah, absolutely.
Harry Kane joined us there.
Oh, we'll be talking about that in a bit, actually. That would have been a perfect segue if we were doing that.
Do it later. Yeah. Pretend your tongue's too big in a bit.
Yeah. Jono, I do have a big tongue. It's fine. Jono, hi.
That was bad as when you had the piercing. Oh, my days. That was a good week.
Yeah. Jono, hi. Welcome.
That's Charlie.
Well, back in the day, mate. This was a long time ago.
Just one girl getting it.
Careful. Careful. We're going to move on. Jürgen Klopp.
Yeah, we are.
Tongue piercings, good fun. We're also very uncomfortable. Klopp says, Ross, top four would be one of the biggest achievements ever. He then immediately follows that up with, I know how that sounds. but it's true. I completely agree. We've been kind of talking around this on a few shows this week already, really, how I don't think outsiders will agree because it's not their place to agree. And, you know, it's one of those comments where if you don't understand the context, it'll look a bit odd for all the years where we've been bantering Arsenal and all those kind of things. But I completely agree. There's no, you know, we're not going, there's no trophy for it. No one's claiming there is. But if Liverpool were to do it, given the circumstances, I will be so made up, more made up than I think I will have ever been seeing Liverpool finish fourth in the league.
Yeah, I think tribalism and context is important in that sense because people will just immediately get their backs up. You're right, going, well, you've got all these great players. But we've said it for a few weeks now. Have you presented each of us the team sheet that we put out, say, I don't know, 4 weeks ago? I'm going, you've got Reece Williams, Nat Phillips. You have no Jordan Henderson, no Van Dijk, no Gomez, all the others that have been out injured and went, they're going to make Champions League football. A, we would have all laughed our heads off, but B, would have bitten your hand off for it, I think, you know, in context of thing. I think the only argument you can have is, I think the rest of the league's kind of been a bit poor, or the people have dipped off. But that's on them. Like, all the teams have had injuries, but, you know, you could make a case that the other teams should be far, far ahead of us in what we're doing. But we've seen in recent weeks that we haven't given up. We've beaten Manchester United, we've just beaten West Brom. We're back in the mix again. Look at Chelsea's side in comparison to ours, mm-hmm. or Leicester's side. To what we're putting out, they should be miles ahead of us, and we're not. We're right on
yeah,
the tails.
Yeah, no, and that's the point, isn't it? Emma, you know, it was actually a little point I was making. I mean, right at the end of the final word yesterday, I think, is that, and there might be some debate to this point, but take my generalised point on this. Reece Williams and Nat Phillips would not be a starting centre back pairing for any team in the Premier League. You know, no team in the Premier League, I think, would swap. To have both of them. They might want one individually. They might be happy to have them round the squads, but I can't see there's many teams, if any, in the 20 teams in the Premier League who would go, we'll have Nat Phillips and Reece Williams as our first choice centre halves.
Yeah, like, and with no disrespect to them, I think they've done a really good job for Liverpool, but they probably wouldn't even be a pairing in the Championship because the Championship's such a high standard these days. But I kind of disagree with you guys a little bit, only like because I saw somebody tweet that this would be Klopp's greatest achievement, and I disagree with that because I just think, you know, the manner in which Liverpool won the Premier League, the manner in which, you know, they did Barcelona and won the Champions League, I just don't think you can put this up there as one of Klopp's greatest achievements. I think it is a great achievement, but for me, it's not one of his greatest. I understand where you're coming from when you take into context all of the factors and the injuries and all of that kind of stuff. I think it's a good achievement, but I do think... You know, I think basically Ross's point about other teams not being great has kind of helped Liverpool a little bit. The whole thing around COVID, the fixture schedule, everyone else has kind of had injuries as well. Obviously nowhere near to the same extent of Liverpool, but I do think you have to factor all of that in. The kind of the two teams I would say basically should have been way ahead of it is Man City, which they are, and Leicester because of the players that they had available sort of in the last... I guess 10 weeks. Obviously, they had their own injury worries at the beginning of the season. So I do think it is a great achievement. But yeah, I just think people, in my opinion, have perhaps got a little bit carried away when they forget the manner in which Liverpool won the Premier League. Yeah. And the type of football that they were playing under Jurgen Klopp last season was just out of this world. And I don't know whether that's just because, you know, we've kind of become a little bit accustomed to seeing this really crap football this year for most of the year. That, like, you look back at it now and go, like, oh, my God, I can't believe we've got Champions League football, and rightly so. But I just can't look past what, you know, what he did in the two previous years. And so, for me, it isn't up there with one of his best. But it's
a stretch to say it's his greatest.
Oh, yeah. No, look, I disagree with Klopp, but it's exactly what I needed to hear at the same time. Because I believe Jürgen believes it. And that's enough for me because I trust in Jürgen Klopp. So if he's telling me that he considers it one of his biggest achievements, that's enough. I might disagree, but if Jürgen's telling me it's harder than I think, I can see all the injuries, Paul, and I can look at everything that's gone on and I can go, well, I make my own judgments. But if Jürgen's telling me he's never experienced anything like this and he hasn't, and he considers it one of his best achievements, then I'll go, you know what, Jürgen, you know more about it than me. You know what that all means, how all those pieces fit together and stuff like that. I'm like Emma, I reckon it's a really good achievement if we get top four.
Yeah.
But certainly if there's one thing it has done is it's allayed those fears of next season for me. Mm-hmm. And that's what I needed more than anything.
My thing for me is that I've got none of us have got a basis of comparison for what the realities of what those injuries mean. Because we're looking at Nat Phillips and we're all made up with Nat Phillips because he's sound. But again, and I hate doing this, it's been fucking 3 months of this, like, and I've just, you know, I kicked it off a bit myself here, but I don't want to be critical of these lads, but like it's a different sport he's playing compared to Virgil van Dijk. That's the gulfing class. You know, it's like looking at Barcelona and put, you know, who's Barcelona's seventh choice backup to Leo Messi, and is he on the same? That's the levels we're working at, because Virgil van Dijk is the best defender on the planet. But Jürgen's the one who knows. We don't know all the subtle things and all the things that we've lost along the way. And that's the thing for me is I just like the notion, because I think it's important to remind everyone that, because again, the context will be lost. And eventually, well, hopefully it won't matter, because we finish in the top four. Who's asked about the context? It's just done. The season's over and we can look ahead to the summer. Great, but it's an important reminder that what if we're able to do it, given the context, because to Ross's point, it is damning all the other clubs that no one if no one else can pip Liverpool to that top four, then it's an indictment of their quality as well. But it's both. It's that Liverpool were able to drag themselves up when the teams with all those options available to them weren't.
I don't want to be sort of going against anything here, but a lot of what Klopp's talking about is all, it's not just the injuries, it's the COVID thing, it's the playing behind closed doors, and every other team has had those issues themselves. Every other team has had the fixture congestion. So what we're dealing with is more than all the other teams, but there has been mistakes made by Jürgen, I think, this season as well. I think, you know, for a start, I think we can look at now, probably with enough games to go, he probably should have just been playing two centre-halves. But when you're in a situation you've never been in before, it's very easy to make mistakes. So I give him a pass on that, but yeah, you can still recognise that the mistake of putting Fabinho in the centre-back position rather than Nat Phillips or Reece Williams looks like a mistake now.
Yeah.
So,
yeah.
You don't know, because if the signings in January, they came really late. You'd have hoped to get them wrapped up. Again, maybe not beyond Klopp's control, but again, probably mistakes the club has made there and not trying to get things over the line quicker and stuff like that.
Both of those lads have been injured anyway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So yeah, we might have seen more.
It was Ben Davies' mistake. There's loads of other things, but again, what it comes down to for me is right now, here today, we're top of the Premier League form table.
Yeah.
Like, and that's unbelievable considering how poor form we've actually been in over the last seven days.
100%.
And that's Klopp's Liverpool right there.
Yeah. It's just the centre-back thing for me. And the thing is, it goes deeper than that, because it does, because we've lost the club captain. He's been, is it 3 months, 4 months he's missed the season now?
Forever.
You know, like, but that's massive to what we do. The vice-captain's been in and out as well all season. I'll be honest.
Thiago's only just finding his form. Trent's come back into form.
Thiago and Fabinho only started 7 games together in midfield. And you can argue the case of maybe we could have played someone else at centre half in those periods, but again, it boils down to a whole host of factors. It's mad.
And Thiago was playing out of position because Fabinho was in centre back.
Exactly. It kind of comes back to what I was saying before of that. Like, that's why I think mistakes have certainly been made by Jürgen, but also you can't ask someone to walk into the dark with their eyes shut and give them 3 routes and expect them to just guess the right route. And that's what Jürgen's kind of been faced with this season. He doesn't know what the right route was, and he's worked it out, which is obviously a good thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, again, look at that. I've been saying this for weeks now. If you take the key players, if you only took out the freak injuries from our team, you mean not even like the training injuries or the fatigue injuries or all that kind of stuff, which is a natural part of the season. So again, Virgil van Dijk, the Thiago against Everton, and then you take out Joe Gomez, you know, having that done to him in England training, whatever. You know, you're probably just about all right. I mean, you look at like how are Leicester going to cope without Johnny Evans? How are Man United coping without Harry Maguire? How did Man City cope without Aymeric Laporte last season? It's mad, and that's what I think. I think when people look at the Liverpool team, you can't help but go, still got Salah in, hasn't it? Still got Trent Alexander-Arnold in, hasn't it? But it's just like that. The centre back thing's barmy, and I don't think we'll ever truly be able to fully appreciate just how. It's like, again, I don't want to be critical of our players, but like Reece Williams and Nat Phillips are crap. Like, they're just crap compared to what we're meant to have. They've done a sterling job, and I love them both eternally for what they've done. And they've got two very big games ahead of them, a chance to cement themselves as Liverpool cult heroes for all time. But it's impossible for us to recognise.
We were struggling to get top forward Danny Agger and Martin Skrtel every fucking season, you know what I mean? And for the most part, we didn't, by the way.
But you know what it's like, Chris? It's like how the people who don't believe COVID existed because they expected bodies to be piled in the streets. But because actions were taken and certain things kind of helped to prevent it going a little bit too far, people needed to see that. And it's like people think that our centre-halves are better than they are because we've not been getting beat 5-0 every week. Whereas like, look what happens at the other end of the spectrum. Sheffield United lost all of their, had exactly the same kind of injury crisis that we've had. And they went from being a mid-table team to being one of the worst teams the Premier League's ever seen. We've somehow, by hook or by crook, clawed our way. And it's not poor old Liverpool, because we do still have all those world-class players to call back on.
Imagine how good we'd have felt about this season if we'd just not lost 6 home games on the bounce, by the way. We've made it so difficult for ourselves,
ridiculous,
haven't we?
Isn't it? Goodness me. Absolutely ridiculous. So, yeah, it is what it is. Burnley, Ross. Yeah,
Pucker up, buddy.
Yeah, it's going to be a clencher one way or the other, really, isn't it?
Yeah, I'm dreading it. I said after we beat Manchester United, I was dreading West Brom and Burnley because they're the template of how to beat Liverpool. Again, West Brom and Sam Allardyce for just not negative football. I think Burnley's slightly different. I think there's a perception of Burnley that they're all a bit shit and they play hoofball, which I don't think they don't, but they're just a physical, difficult side that will stifle Liverpool. And that's what frightens me, because we face these teams, those 6 defeats that Chris mentioned before. That's how you beat Liverpool. Just put people behind the ball, frustrate us and hit us on the counter-attack and hope that you get a chance and do it. I'm hoping that Sean Dyche just sees it differently. He's got nothing to play for. He might do something different, or he might have the feet up and just
that
go. Actually,
big for him though. That money mid-table, the difference here and there, when you've got the lowest budget in the league or there or thereabouts, that like maybe £1 million is a massive thing for Burnley. So I think they do have something to play for.
My issue with this, and we do this every year, everywhere we talk about teams going to be on the beach. The problem is that Liverpool it's Liverpool.
Yeah, and they're the champions. Well.
Yeah, well, they were. Yeah, you know, but the point is, Liverpool's Liverpool. Whether we're good or shit, it's still Liverpool. And you know, for as much as players might want to just give it up and go and get on the beach, they can't. And it's probably quite freeing in some regards playing Liverpool. You get to do, whether you follow your game plan that you've had all season long or you want to break from that, go a little bit harder. You know, there's just something to be gained from saying I got one over on Liverpool, and that's the problem. You know, Burnley probably felt like they were on the beach against Leeds, but I can't see them. With fans in Turf Moor, this is their last big chance just to go and empty the tank. They can be shit at the weekend if they want, but this is like a potential party for them.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. And actually, with respect to the likes of Burnley, when you're used to being a kind of a mid-table team with not that much to kind of play for, that is essentially their job week in, week out, isn't it? It's to show, you know, to show that they're professional.
With respect, you said before you said that.
Yeah, but like, do you get what I mean? Because like, if you're you know, if you're like a Palace or, you know, West Ham in usual circumstances, obviously this season's different for them, but I guess, you know, you try to give it a go in the cups, but otherwise, week in, week out in the Premier League, it's about, you know, trying to cause upsets, trying to, you know, be as professional as you can and turn up for those big games against the big boys. So
just describe Everton.
But yeah, I don't think this will be any different for Burnley. Like Paul says, I think it's a bit of a free hit. Obviously, they've got the fans back. I think they'll be enjoying coming up against a Liverpool side who have been grinding out results, and this absolutely ticks the boxes for Burnley in terms of, you know, just frustrating them, killing time, winning like really sloppy fouls and taking ages to take throw-ins, hoofing long balls up to cause Reece Williams problems all day long. It just looks on paper like the kind of game that Sean Dyche will be really looking forward to.
Emma, do you think the fans of the clubs like Burnley will be looking forward to getting back in the ground? because I just couldn't be arsed. You know what I mean? Oh, great. At least at the telly, I could just go and make myself a cuppa or something. You know what I mean? Yeah, I'm going to sit and subject myself to this all week.
He's got the
at least, it's against Liverpool, though. Like Paul says, like if you're the fan, if you're fans of Burnley, you'd rather come in for a game against There's Liverpool where, you know, where they could cause an upset. But, yeah, I don't know. We'll
I mean, they did give the tickets away for free. To be fair,
because none sold.
No, great gesture, by the way.
Just
quickly then, before we wrap up the podcast, and we're going to be doing this in more substantial form on the Reds News Roundup show over on the website today. Harry Kane leaving Spurs. Brian Corley 95 on Twitter says, would you bid for Harry Kane?
Yeah, definitely. And there's loads of strikers that I would bid for this summer. And that's the mad thing, isn't it? Is that like there are huge clubs, loads of huge clubs looking for a proper number nine this summer. I think, you know, you've got Manchester City, maybe Manchester United. I know they've signed Cavani up, but does that contract really mean you should put your future plans on hold if someone big comes available, like a Harry Kane? Arsenal will be probably looking for someone. Barcelona, Real Madrid. I said big clubs and plus one. You know, there's just tons all around looking for, so there's just going to be a mad merry-go-round this year. And I think Harry Kane, and I've always thought Harry Kane is absolutely superb. And the fact that he doesn't rely on pace means it's even better for him. I think he can have his pick of any club in Europe, to be honest.
Normally, I wouldn't be. Harry Kane, I'm being perfectly honest. I think he's terrific. I think this season, when you look at his all-round play, Ross, you know, he's done a Bobby Firmino impression and absolutely nailed it. You know, it's the point where, you know, when someone goes in and, like, you know, does it, like, you can imagine Bobby Firmino going to a Bobby Firmino impersonation contest and coming third at this point on how he's played compared to how Harry Kane's played. He's that goal scorer, but he the way he's linked their forwards, he's completely carried that Spurs team this season. I mean, for a number of seasons, of course, but in a way that I don't think any one of us expected that he possibly could.
No, it's interesting. I was talking to Ben about it this morning. He thinks there's some sort of, I was just thinking there's some perception of Harry Kane that we just hate him because Liverpool fans, or there's something about, you know, we were joking about his fat tongue and stuff before. I think there's a slight arrogance to him as well, and that thing that he does where he tries to injure players is the reason we just hate him. But if he turned around and said, do you want 20 goals a season? You'd all say, yeah. And then go, oh, it's Harry Kane. And again, he still would do. I think that he's adapted his game, when Mourinho has adapted his game, adds to his quality. So I think he can provide something for Liverpool. So I'd be putting a bid in. If he went to Manchester United, does that alter things? If they want Jadon Sancho, does that mean the door's open for us in that sense? But the other thing he'll be doing, because the Spurs players will be down and they'll be concerned that Harry Kane's going, at the very least, I'll be chucking a bid in for Son as well, because he frightens the life out of me. But at the very least, you're just going to cause some shit. I'm down for that. Put a bit in for Son, making question his future, his thoughts. And, you know, if it went well, I'd have him at Liverpool tomorrow.
Emma?
Yeah, I mean, I was going to say, similar to Ross, you're kind of ticking three boxes when you bring in Harry Kane, because you're nicking him off one of the sort of European rivals. And when I say European, I mean, like, you know, potentially Europa League. But, you know, you're nicking him off Tottenham. You're stopping one of the other Premier League rivals from getting him, which I think is more important. And then obviously you're adding that, as Ross said, you're adding that pretty much guaranteed 20 goal scorer to the squad as well. So it's a no-brainer for me.
There's big Robin Van Persie vibes about this, isn't there? About how look, they bought one more title with Van Persie, but it didn't mean they left Man United in particularly good shape, you know, as a result of it. But there is something there where, you're right, if City get him, that would be a big ask to try and
I think
whole
he's
City
on
in.
For 40 goals if he goes to City. The way that they play and the way that they provide, I just think that, like, those ones where how many 15 stupid misses from Sterling a season, Jesus probably about 10 of the stupid misses. He bundles the ball in the back of the net. He hits the net all the time. He just knows where the goal is, man. It would frighten me if he went to Manchester City. I'd much rather, this sounds stupid, I'd much rather them sign Messi for a season than Harry Kane for five.
Yeah. Yeah, that's an interesting point. I can't see the pub being in for him. The big question about him is, can anyone actually afford him?
Can anyone be arsed as well, just dealing with Levy? It's like you've got to cancel your entire summer just to try and get this deal over the line with Daniel Levy.
Yeah, there's going to be, I think it's going to come about with...
He'll text you at like 2 a.m, no,
yeah.
What about this?
And yeah, and then you wait 18 hours and then he'll text you and you put your phone down to go to the gym or something and you come back, missed him again, you know what I mean? But it's like, you know, you come back, yeah, Michael Edwards, mate. He's a fit guy. The point is with this is that I don't. What's he going to go for? 80 million, probably, there or thereabouts.
120.
Yeah, you know, that's what they want for him. You know, is there anyone who's actually got that kind of dough? I don't think anyone does. So Harry Kane, it'd be interesting to see what happens. Someone else is going to have to move, I think, to kick this all.
That's the thing, isn't it? I think, you know, you've got your Mbappes, you've got your Haaland, you've got your Sanchos, you've got your Harry Kane. It's just going to be a mad one. Like, and then obviously there's rumours yesterday of Salah and PSG and all that type of stuff. And that's a mad one in and of itself because I'm like, I don't want to lose Salah, but if you can get Mbappe as part of the deal, like, maybe that's the way that that all opens
Shake hands on the Eurostar. right, so we had one more super chat from Mike Boyce. On land, sea, sky and beyond, nothing can stop this group from being a beautiful team. Oh, that's a wonderful sentiment.
Who said that?
That was Mike Boyce.
Well done, Mike.
That was lovely. And Mac Sy says, would you swap Mane and Keita for Kane?
Mane and Keita for Kane. Oh! I'm swapping this season's Mane, aren't I, and Keita. Well, hang on a minute.
Next season's Mane, technically.
Yeah, but is it this season's Mane or last season's? You know what I mean? I don't know because Mane's... Is Jota ready for that left-hand berth? Has he been good on the left-hand side? Yeah, I suppose so. Honest answer, don't know. Don't know.
Interesting one. Let us know in the comments.
That's a tough one.
Alongside
would anyone do it?
Thank you.
Would you do it?
Don't know. No, but I don't know. No, probably not.
I'd swap Keita for Kane.
Yeah. Good luck. but Kate is a good example of this. I don't, again, we're doing this on the Reds, so I don't want to do too much here. But he's a perfect example of a make weight player that I think will make this deal happen. I don't think they're going to get 80, 100, 90, 100 million pounds for him.
That is a lot of money. But you'll find,
yeah, 80, 100 million pounds. But I think you'll find they get a chunk plus 2 or 3. Better because they need some new blood in there. Cater and Ox plus 40 Harry Kane.
I'd do that.
Right, Sam, we're going to wrap the podcast up there. Thank you so much for tuning in this week, whether you're on
or just nap for Harry Kane.
App. Yeah, it's not worth just as good in the air. Or you're watching us on YouTube. Thank you so much. Do drop a like if you're here on YouTube. Do check out everything we've got going at the moment over on theredmentv.com. We will be doing the Reds News Roundup show. We're going to be talking a bit more about Kane. We're going to be talking about the petition for an independent football body, and there's some rumours surrounding the future of Naby Keita. So that show is coming up this afternoon. Do check that out. And yeah, make sure you are subscribed to get the Jordan Henderson 10 Years of Red documentary. Teaser 2 is coming out next week, at the back end of this week, I should say, because the season's nearly finished. I'm losing track of this big time. But anyway, we'll be back with another Red Men podcast probably next week, probably. We'll fit that in the calendar somewhere. But other than that, thank you so much. See you soon. Ta-ra.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.